focusing on the new birth, that first part of the new birth. Going on into really the second part, but I want to make sure we understand the significance of that first part first. We went on last week, we talked in Ezekiel, where the writer asked the question, why will you die? When all you have to do is turn to Jesus and live. And when a person is saying they want to repent, they are turning away from that life of sin. And they are turning to Jesus. Now, they have to understand, you're not turning to Jesus for no reason. You're turning to Jesus because you want to live. According to the book of Luke, I want to look at three passages this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. Luke chapter number 13, 1 through 5. And then I want to go over to Acts chapter number 17, 30. 17 and 30. 30 and 31, really. And then we're going to look at Acts 19, 1 through 7. I'll try to hit all three of them. But if I don't, at least you'll know what was in my mind, okay? All right, now Luke chapter number 13, 1 through 5. It says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. Now, think about this. This is where people, when people go through unfortunate things, the first thing that come across people's minds is that they were some kind of a worse sinner than someone else. But I want you to understand this. It is the wage of sin that is death, period. I don't want you to try to categorize sin. There are no, you know how you was coming up? They used to say, he just told a little white lie to make it seem like it wasn't as bad as a bold-faced lie. It was just a little white lie. Well, people say, well, no, I'm just teasing, I'm just joking. I wasn't serious about what I said. Well, a lie is an untruth. A lie is when you are speaking something that is not true. As innocent as you may think it is still what it is. It is a lie. It is a lie. And this is really the idea behind what Jesus was saying, because they were trying to say that the Galatians were dealing with all kind of hardships because they were worse sinners than everybody else. That's why he asked that question. Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. And then in verse number 3, Jesus lets us know the reality of life. Yes, in other words, no. In the eyesight of Jesus, the righteous judge, all he is looking for is, have you taken care of sin? Have you turned away from sin? Said no, but except you do what? Repent. See, that's why the enemy, he tries his best to devalue that word repent. He really does. He really tries to make you run past that word. He'll try to use the act of you crying, people crying, they come down and they cry. And when they hear the word, they come down to the front and cry, or they stand up and cry and say they want to change. They let them think, okay, that's all that repentance is. No. I'm not trying to tell you your feelings at that moment aren't important and they may not be real. But when you are repenting, you are actually doing something. Repentance means you got a mind to actually do something. Well, when you say out of scuttle, what do they have a mind to do? Aren't they standing up? Aren't they crying? No. Jesus saying, you got to stop sin. You got to actually have a mind to turn away from that stuff and not go back into it anymore. When a person repents, they will hear the word. If they are in a relationship with someone for 30 years, they have built a life for 30 years together, buying a home, cars, all kind of property, all kind of mixed bank accounts, but they know they were never married. When they repent at that moment, they stop all activities together. And they say, we can't do this anymore. What do you mean you can't do this? I can't come in that house no more. I can't live like this anymore. Well, are we going to get married? I don't want to marry you. Then that means we got to separate everything. We got to separate everything. Well, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Well, sin is expensive. Sin is expensive. Say, well, you don't mean we, Elder Scudder, you don't understand. We were together 30 years and we got all of this land. Somebody's got to give it up. The person said they don't want to marry you. Somebody's got to give it up. Well, can't we just continue on and keep the property in one another's name? No, because the Lord told you to repent. Repent means to turn away from all wrong, right? That's the truth. So you got to turn away from all wrong. You see, Elder Scudder, it's not fair. What is not fair? Jesus said, are you talking about my ways aren't fair? Consider your own ways. Your ways are the ways that are not fair. Jesus told you from the beginning what you should and should not do. And then when he brings you into judgment, then you want to cry, Lord, it's not fair. No, it is your choices that have been not fair. You know the difference between right and wrong. And yet you want to go on and make a life for yourself and dig yourself and entangle yourself in all of this wrong. And then you want the Lord to some kind of way go in and fix all of your wrong. You want him to continue letting you live wrong and bless you on top of that stuff. That's not how it works. That's why he told you, you must do what? Repent. And he says also, if you do not repent, you will perish. That's the truth. You will perish. That perishing may come years later. It may come all the way down at the end of your life. You say, oh, Scott, I don't understand. I live such a nice life, didn't bother nobody. But while I'm old, and then got old now, and all of this stuff is coming up upon me. All of these pains, all of these tortures. Well, I don't know. I don't know why the stuff is coming up on you. But I do know what the Lord's word says. The Lord's word says, if you don't repent, you will perish. Elder Scudder, you mean to tell me this pain that I'm feeling in my body is because of sin? I don't know. I don't know why you're feeling this stuff. But I'm telling you what I do know is you need to repent. You need to go through your life and ask the Lord if it's anything that I've done, anything that I've said, any way that I'm living that is not pleasing in your sight, Jesus, show it to me. And when he shows it to you, you need to turn. You need to make the necessary changes to stop living under the category of wrong and come on to the right side. That's the truth. You need to get out of that wrong umbrella and come up under the umbrella of righteousness. That's why the Lord is telling you. Now, you say, well, Elder Scudder, what about the people that are not perishing? What about the people that live nice, good, clean lives and got all of this stuff coming? Well, when you cross over into eternity, I pray you've been born again. Because if you haven't been born again, according to the scripture, you are going to perish. You are going to perish. Some people will look at the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And they'll say, well, the Lazarus, he seemed like he had a hard life. He was the scripture said he was hungry. The dogs licked his sores. The fellow, first of all, he was hungry. And he had sores all on his body. And the only result or relief, if you want to say it, the way that the sores were dealt with was the dogs licked his sores. Now, the rich man, scripture says he fared sumptuously. He was clothed in purple, fine linen, had lots of money. It's one. Now, I don't want you to separate the two instances. When the Lord talks about that rich man in the instance of Lazarus, he is also describing that same rich man when he says, I'm going to build up barns. It's the same rich man. It's the same idea. The rich man told his soul, take thine ease. I've laid up for you for years. And then the Lord came to him and called him what? A fool. Right? Same thing Jesus is saying about that rich man in Lazarus' day. That rich man was described as being a what? A fool. Because he died and was buried. And Lazarus died and was carried into the bosoms of Abraham by the angels. But when you see the rich man, he died and was buried. And the scripture says he lifted up his eyes and said, my soul is being tormented in the flame. Right? Well, that means Jesus' word came to be true. Because he told him before he even got there to do what? Repent. He said, well, that rich man wasn't living during Jesus' day. Well, Jesus had other prophets before his day that was preaching and teaching the same thing that he preached. Huh? Look at John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist preach? He preached repentance. He told the people that they had to turn from their sin. They had to stop all of their wrongdoing. I don't care how much they had. They still had to stop their wrongdoing. And it's the same thing that we say today. We may not fall up under the category of being rich. We may not fall up under the category of having a whole lot of stuff. But the same thing is true. Jesus said, I don't care where you are on the spectrum of this earth. I don't care how the world puts what label they put you on. Rich, poor, educated, no education. It doesn't make a difference. When you're born in sin, you are just a sinner. You are just a sinner, and you need to deal with that sin. And the first step in dealing with that sin is to do what? Repent. Jesus said, no, there are no classification of sinners. You know, people say, well, Elder Scudder, the Lord don't like homosexuality. No, he don't. But he don't like homosexuality. But he also don't like a liar. Right? He never said the homosexual can't tarry in his sight. He didn't tell the homosexual that. He did not tell the homosexual that they can't tarry in his sight. But he did tell that liar. Say, a liar can't even tarry in my sight. Huh? That's what I think may be some of the problem. We may be having a whole lot of liars on the altar trying to call Jesus. Huh? Oh, yeah. They're waiting. But what did the Lord say? Your waiting is no good. Why is my waiting no good? Because you are a liar. Huh? And the Lord says a liar cannot tarry in my sight. When you're trying to receive the Holy Ghost, you are waiting. He told you to wait until you are endued with power from on high. And when you're down there waiting, you are calling on the name of Jesus. But the problem is, if you are still entertaining a lie, if you're still living a lie, Jesus said a liar cannot tarry in my sight. Now, you may come in here and call Jesus. You may say, call Jesus with me. But in the sight of Jesus, your waiting is no good. Why? Because he sees you as a liar. But how can I fix that? You need to repent. You need to turn away from that lie, right? You need to say, I don't want to live in a lie no more. I want to live in the truth. I want to walk in truth. That's the truth. Walk in truth. Walk in your truth. Walk in your truth. Get away. Stop all of your lying. Huh? Stop living two different lives. Huh? Be real. That's the truth. Be real. Don't be one way behind closed doors and then be another way when the doors are open. The Lord says that you are a liar. You are a hypocrite. You're not living truthful. You're not living honest. One thing you can say about a saint lives the same way regardless of where they go. Whether they on vacation or whether they witnessing on the street, they're still living for Jesus. When they on their jobs, whether they're in their homes off, they're still living for Jesus. Their minds are still on Jesus no matter what. They're thinking about how they live and they are concerned about the choices and the decisions that they make. They don't put Jesus on one moment and take Jesus off another moment. That's not how the saints think. Saints realize that the life that I live now, I live because of him that loved me and washed me from my sin. That's the life that I live right now. That's the truth. I don't put Jesus on and then take him off. I'm concerned about every image. Oh, yes. I'm concerned about every image that I put forth. Every image, everything that is said, everything that is heard. You heard what I said on this morning. As saints, we need to be cautious about what we say around those that are trying to receive the Holy Ghost. Saints should be cautious about that. You say, well, Scott, what about those that are tearing for the Holy Ghost? Yeah, they need to be concerned, but you need to be more concerned. Why? Because you say you have Jesus. They don't have the Holy Ghost. But you say Jesus is living down on the inside of you. So you need to be real concerned about your presentation. You need to be concerned about your witness. You need to be concerned that your salt has not lost its savor. That's the truth. You want your salt to be valuable. In other words, what you put out. You want what you put out to be valuable to somebody. Huh? Oh, yes. I got to be careful about what I say, how I look, because I want what I say and what I look like to be valuable to somebody. I don't want the Lord to look at me and say, that salt has lost its savor. And that salt, and when it loses its savor, it's good for nothing. It's good for nothing. It's no better than dirt. Huh? What do you mean it's no better than dirt? It is no better than the stuff that people walk on top of. But when the salt got value, people won't walk all over it. Why? Because it means something to them, right? In other words, I don't want the world to walk all over my life. I don't want the world to walk all over my speech. But I want what I live and what I say to be valuable to them, right? That's the truth. I want my words to have meaning. I want my life to have meaning. Huh? That's the truth. I want it to help them. When they in the place of death, when you are talking, think about that. When you come around someone that is trying to find repentance and they can't quite find it, I want when they come in my presence, when they see me and they hear me, I want what I say and how I look to have value to them. I want them to say, I can live. Huh? Oh, yeah. I want that sinner to look at me and say, they can live. They ain't got to stay in sin no more. They can live. Why would they say that? Because they see Jesus in me. One thing I can say flat-footed about Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he gave the sinner hope. Even in their darkest days, he gave them hope. He let them realize they don't have to die, but they can live, right? And if that's how Jesus was, how about you? How about me? Huh? That's the truth. Yeah, these folk is bad. I ain't telling you they ain't bad. Yeah, these folk is messed up. I'm not telling you they ain't messed up. But I still want them to look at me and say, I can live. Huh? I don't want them to look at me and say, oh, you looking down on them. No. That's what Jesus trying to get across to these Galileans. You sitting there looking down on these other folk because they suffering. Because they going through. And in your mind, in the back of your mind, you're saying, they must have been some bad sinners. Huh? Be going through like that, they got to have been some bad sinners. Jesus said, no, 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 huh? They ain't no worse off than you, huh? They not no worse off than you. But I'm going to tell you this fact. Except you repent, huh? You're going to also do it. You shall also likewise. Your day is coming. The very thing you look down on somebody else and say, how bad they are. Your day is coming. Why? Because both of you won't do what? Repent. Both of you won't turn away from that life. Huh? That's what Jesus says. Go to verse number 4.
Oh, those 18 upon whom the tower and Siloam.
Isn't that something? Now, we had a building collapse in Florida. We had a building collapse in Florida. We had horrible floods in Europe. Wiped out lots of people. And if you're not careful, you'll be sitting around looking, saying, oh, I feel so sorry for them. Sure enough, they must have been some bad sinners up in that house. Must have been some bad sinners walking in Europe. Huh? Why you say that? Well, because they ain't nowhere in the world a righteous God like that. Look at them and destroy all them folk like that and not trying to give you a message. Huh? He's trying to let you know he's sick of them folk. Well, he might be sick of you too. Huh? He may be sick of you too. And you won't know he's sick of you if you don't look at yourself. Huh? I need to make sure I spend time and look at myself so that I can examine and see where I am at in my walk, in my relationship with Jesus. Lest I think I am something that I am not. Huh? Don't you forget that scripture that Jesus said, even in this same book, when they were walking through the cities, the towns, and the villages, asking the Lord, are there going to be a few that's going to be saved? Jesus said, don't you worry about the numbers. You strive to get in for yourself. Why? Because I'm telling you this fact. Many shall seek to get in, and they're not going to be able to do it. Why? Because they're going to be powerless. They won't have what they need, right? They're not going to have what they need in order to get in. I think that's a concern of every saint. Everyone that walks in this thing called holiness. I think that's a concern that you should have at the forefront of your mind. Lord Jesus, don't let me come so far and be lost because I fail to look at myself. Because I'm so busy of looking at other folk that I fail to look at myself. Where am I at in your eyes, Jesus? How do I look to you, Jesus? How do I sound to you, Jesus? I don't want to sound like a tingling cymbal and still not have charity. Huh? I don't want to give my very body to be burned and still not have charity. Why? Because it profits me nothing, right? Huh? Isn't that sad? You be doing all of this and ain't got no love inside of you. Huh? You be doing all of this and ain't got an ounce of love inside of you. Huh? Oh, help me, Jesus. Huh? Sometimes I hear you. I hear you, and I be saying, Lord, please wake them up out of sleep. Huh? Because they missing this big picture. Huh? They ain't got an ounce of love inside them. That's what you talking about? I ain't got no love. Listen to your speech. Pay attention to your attitude. Pay attention to what's going on, what's surfacing around in your mind when someone has got on your nerves. Look at how you're responding about somebody that has irritated you. What if Jesus treated you like that? Huh? What if Jesus treated you the way you treat somebody else when they got on your nerves? What if Jesus treated me like that? Man, I'd be in a world of trouble. Huh? Man, I'd be in a world of trouble. Yet his word is very clear. When he say judgment is going to begin here. Judgment is going to begin right here. It is right here the Lord is going to separate the wheat from the tares. Huh? People that are just putting on a show. And people that really mean they want to be saved. Huh? Oh, yeah. People that are just going through the motions. And versus people that really are sincere about wanting to go back with Jesus when he comes. One thing I have seen down through the years, that a true saint is always humble before Jesus. I mean, they are always looking at themselves. You don't hear them do a whole lot of murmuring and a whole lot of complaining about what other people are doing or not doing. They're so focused on making sure they're right. Because they realize, in all of my doing, I'm just going to barely get in there. And all of my doing, I'm just going to barely get in there. They don't get so caught up. They may say every now and then, you know, this and that. But then they get right back on track real quick. Say, Jesus, help me. Help my mind, Jesus. Why? Because my mind ain't where it need to be at. I'm feeling things that I should not feel. Not when I say I got the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? Righteousness, peace, and joy. I'm feeling things outside of that, right? And that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus at all. That's not Jesus. That's the truth. Even as a preacher. Even as the Lord's spokesman. Elder Scudder got to watch himself. You know people do wrong. People say wrong things. People do things. Sometimes if I'm not careful, I'll take that thing personal. You say, such and such is not coming to church tonight. Such and such is not coming to church tonight. And I'm sitting there looking, what in the world are they not coming for? You know, are they not coming because they don't want to support me? Huh? That's the worst feeling. And say, Elder Scott, what in the world are you talking about? I'm trying to tell you the things the enemy let the track go across in my mind. He's trying to make you think that they're giving up on you, and you ain't got nothing to do with it. I got to remind myself every now and then that they're here to serve the Lord. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus. It's about their relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I've got to make sure that I keep my mind clear so that I can deliver to them what they need in order to get their soul right with Jesus. That's the truth. That's why the Lord told you as saints, well, you know, you got to be real careful about how you treat your leader. Why? Because if you don't, you'll mess around and you'll get a leader that's thinking in the flesh. When you can't afford for me to be thinking fleshly. You can't, because it'll mess you up. Huh? Your message will be tainted with my flesh. And you don't want the message that the Lord had to give you to be tainted with my flesh. Huh? Oh, no. You don't want that. You don't want my feelings to be involved. Not when you're trying to hear from the Lord. Huh? That's the truth. You don't want my feelings to be involved. If I get an attitude, I ain't going to say nothing to you. You don't want my feelings to be involved in that. You want me to move my feelings out the way and help you to see yourself so that you can make the necessary changes, right? That's the truth. That's what the writer told you in Hebrew. To obey them that have the rule over you. Huh? Come on, real quick, just so you can say, I don't want nobody to say, oh, Scott, what you talking about? But it's right there in your book. Hebrews, what is that, 13? Hebrews 13 or 12 or something like that. Obey them that have the rule over you. I didn't intend to go there. But they watch for your soul. 13, 17.
Obey them that have the rule over you.
Yes.
Submit yourself.
Uh-huh. In other words, it don't say compromise. It don't say compromise. It don't say, Elder Scudder, oh, I'll do this, but what you going to do for me?
Right.
Elder Scudder, I'll go do this, but how are you going to help me out?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And little did they know, you done negotiated
right.
In holiness. Well, no, the Lord didn't say that. The Lord told you to do what? Obey them that have the rule over you and to do what? Submit.
Yeah.
In other words, you take the low road. Huh? Hold your thought.
Yes.
Every time it's not an opportunity for you to share what you think.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Yes.
Your pastor don't ask you, saints, what do y'all think about this? If he don't say that, you keep your thought to yourself.
Right.
If he give you an instruction, you keep your thought to yourself.
Right.
Why? Because what he is giving you is from thus saith the Lord.
Right.
If it ain't hurting you, it's from thus saith the Lord. Especially if you know it's an instruction to help you grow spiritually. It's something to help your soul. That ain't nothing for you to negotiate about. If your pastor say it's a fast day, it's nothing for you to say, but I'm on this medication. I'm on that medication. That day you stop that medicine. Why? Because it's for your soul, right? It ain't for your body. It's for your soul, right? And the scripture tell you to do what? Obey them that has a rule over you and do what? Submit. Huh? It did not say compromise. Huh? Here you go. If you're not careful, you'll be the only saint. When the scriptures, when the Lord have called forth for a fast day, you'll be the only saint that won't be fasting because you'll be up under the umbrella of flesh. You would have submitted yourself to a doctor that is watching for your body instead of the watchman that is watching for your soul. Huh? Did you say that? Yes, I said it. You would have submitted yourself to a doctor that is watching for your body rather than the watchman that is watching for your soul. The Lord told you to obey them that have the rule over you. Why? Because they do what? Watch for your soul. He says submit to them, right? Huh? Be messing around quoting what Fauci said. Dr. Fauci. Huh? Oh, yeah, he's a doctor. He's an educated man. He watches for the body but he will never watch for your soul. Huh? Come on, saints. That's why you better be careful. Family members will tell y'all, even during this pandemic, everybody had an opinion. Everybody had an idea as about what they're supposed to do during the pandemic. But nobody wanted to submit themselves to what does Jesus say? Huh? What does Jesus tell us to do? Even in the midst of a pandemic, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, who are you? You've gone down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. You are a people called out for the name. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn means to repent, turn from your wicked ways, right? Then you'll hear from heaven, right? Huh? The Lord said, then you'll hear from heaven. Huh? People say, Elder Scott, Holy Ghost is not falling. The scripture don't change. Huh? Scripture does not change. Say, we need the Holy Ghost in here, Elder Scott. Well, the people got to do what the Lord told them to do. What must we do? We are his people. We must humble ourselves, right? We got to humble ourselves. Say, Elder Scott, what about the next? No, I'm talking about you. Me. We got to do what? Humble ourselves. We got to humble ourselves and pray. Huh? And not just pray, not just do a whole lot of talking to Jesus, but we need to humble ourselves, pray, and seek his face. Huh? We need to seek Jesus. We need to put ourselves back on the altar like we're trying to receive the Holy Ghost all over again, right? Seek the Holy Ghost, right? Seek his face. And not only that, you need to adopt that same message that somebody preached to you years ago. What message did they preach to you? Repent. Huh? Repent. Huh? Well, it's God, I'm already saved. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways, right? Your ways are wicked. Huh? Elder Scott, I ain't wicked. Your ways are wicked. Huh? Your ways are wicked. If they were pleasing, the Lord would have come by. Huh? He won't withhold no good thing to those that walk up right before him. Why say, Elder Scott, what are you talking about? Your ways are wicked. You need to turn from your wicked ways, right? That's the truth. Is that what the book says? I'm not.
It's
all right.
Amen.
Lord told you to turn from your wicked ways. And then you'll hear from heaven. Holy Ghost is us hearing from heaven. Huh? We need to hear that sound as a rushing mighty wind. Huh? Oh, yeah, I need to hear that sound. Say, Elder Scott, what do you mean? I need to hear that sound. That sound is an encouragement to my soul. I need to hear that sound that come from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. I need that Holy Ghost power to fill the house as it did on the day of Pentecost, right? Not only feel, I need the Lord to heal. Huh? Need the Lord to heal. Oh, yeah. I need the Lord to come on in and work on my mind. Huh? Condition my thinking. Huh? Oh, yeah. I need the Lord to condition my thinking. Condition it to how? To realize that he is my healer. Huh? My bed is not my healer. Huh? My little home remedies is not the healing. Jesus is my healer. Huh? Oh, yes, Jesus is my healer. Something wrong with you as a saint when your body's feeling bad. You don't find it in your mind to pray. Pray yourself through that thing. Cry out to the Lord through that thing. Stop being a victim and be a victorious saint, right? Pray yourself through that thing. Find the victory. It's in Jesus. Find the victory. It's in Jesus, isn't it? Oh, yes. Lest we look around and we start being like people that just watch the news all day long. See, that's what 13 and 4 is talking about in Luke. People that watch the news all day long. We be walking around listening to all of the misfortune and say, oh, that's a shame. That's so sad. Things is terrible. Huh? Isn't that what verse number 4 saying? You think them people was looking, one saying that in their mind when they read that? 18. Upon whom the whole tower of Shalom fell on them folk. And slew them.
Think ye that they are sinners above all men?
Jesus said this, I tell you no. Huh? Isn't that something? In other words, a tower's going to fall on you. Huh? Oh, yeah. A tower's going to fall on you. Suffering is going to fall on you. You be messing around, looking out, talking about, whoa, and that's so sad to what's happened to other folk. But that very thing is going to happen to you. Huh? That's the truth. If you don't do what? Repent. If you don't repent, turn from that wicked stuff. Oh, yes. Go over to the book of Acts really quick. What did I say there? Acts chapter number 17. 17. Let's start at verse number
25.
This is the God that we serve. See, that's why I'm trying to tell you, saints, we got to be careful about what we see. These folk will have you fooled because they put up their hands and they cry and they shed a couple of crocodile tears. They say, come on, let's worship him. Let's worship him. And you be a fool falling right in behind him with your hands all up in the sky talking about we had a good worship experience. You don't know the God that we see. You don't know who the real God is. Huh? You're serving some made up God. Huh? But the God that we serve is the God that made heaven and earth. Is that what the verse above that says? The God that we serve made heaven and earth and the whole world. Huh?
The God that made the world and all things therein.
Yes.
Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth.
What is Jesus? He's Lord. You tell me, Elder Scott, Jesus is Lord over the coronavirus? Oh, yeah. He's the Lord over the heaven and the earth. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
I'm so thankful the Lord kept us doing this whole thing. Every time I look at these billboards all around the city and I see these messages, we are back open. My heart falls into my stomach. Because I think about this is supposed to be the household of faith. The scripture says this is the church that is purchased by his blood. He said, my house should be called a house of prayer. And how can you have the audacity to say out of your mouth that it is back open? I got news for you. The church has never closed. Huh? The church has been open since the day of Pentecost. Huh? It has never closed, right? I don't have the right to close it. Huh? I don't have the authority to close it. Huh? Who am I? I am nothing, right? Huh? When you read that scripture, you're nothing. You don't have the right to close the Lord's church. This is his church. It's his body, right? He purchased it with his own blood. Huh?
Yes, he did. Thank you, Jesus.
That's the truth. You don't have the right to close his church. Huh? Does that make sense? I don't have the right to close his church. That's the truth. Say, Elder Scott, what you talking about? We've had the power shut off. We've had the water shut off. But we dare not say we can't have church. Huh? Say, Elder Scott, what are you talking about? You all came in here with no power? Amen. We came in here and served Jesus with no power. Huh? Say, what happened? We didn't have. We used our hands. We used our voices. And we praised the Lord. We got on our knees and we called on Jesus. Huh? Y'all didn't have no water. We had no water. We had to fill up our milk gallons. We had to fill up milk gallons by the number. 17 milk gallons filled up in the back of a trunk. Huh? My wife and myself had to carry those milk gallons and put them by the commode. Huh? What do you mean? That is a holy. Yes, we did it. Why? Because we dare not close the Lord's church. It's not mine to close, right? It's not mine to close. We kept it right on moving. And say, Jesus, just give us the strength. Jesus, give us the faith. Huh? To walk on through. Huh? Oh, yes. No heat. Amen. No air conditioning. Amen. We still had to keep it open. We could not close the doors. Huh? Oh, yes, y'all are going to burn up. Y'all are going to freeze. But we're still here today. Huh? We are still here today. We made it through so you can make it through, right?
Huh?
You don't have the authority to close Jesus' church. Jesus said, this is my church. Huh? He said, the very gates of hell should not prevail against my church. Huh? Now it's up to you to say, I want to be in that. Huh? Now you can stay home and listen to Fauci all you want. I don't want to be where Fauci is. I don't want to spend eternity with your Fauci. I want to spend eternity with the one that loved me and washed me from my sins in his own blood. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. Fauci didn't die for me. Huh? No health person died for me. Your doctor didn't die for you. Huh? Only Jesus died for you. Only Jesus shed his blood. That what you said this morning? They pierced him in his side. You should have that embedded in your mind. He did that so you could be saved. Huh? Somebody said the crown of thorns on his head. He did that so you can be saved. And how dare you stop you? How dare you let the enemy put it in your mind because of what the world is saying? Huh? That you can't serve the Lord. Huh? Why would you let the world put that thought in your mind? That let me know you don't know who Jesus is. You don't know who Jesus is.
In the name of Jesus.
You don't know who he is. Because if you knew who he is, you wouldn't let nobody stop you from serving the Lord. Huh? You would look at that verse. What does that verse say? The God that made the world. The heaven, and you will look at that verse and say, that is my God. Huh? My God is not weak. Jesus is not weak. Huh? Don't nothing catch Jesus by surprise. Huh? Say, oh, Scotty, you mean to tell me you could get the, I could get coronavirus and it would be a surprise to me, but it's not a surprise to my God. Jesus is my God. Huh? Nothing catches Jesus by surprise. And if he not shocked, I need to get out of shock real quick. Huh? If my God ain't shocked, I need to get out of it real quick. Say, you got it? What? Me? I need to get over here to Jesus. Jesus, you knew this before I was even born. I was going to get this, right? And you promised not to put more on me than I can bear. Huh? You promised that. You said, I'm not going to put more on you than you can bear. Huh? Jesus, you said with this same temptation, huh? You will make a way of escape for me, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? What you mean now, Descott? A way of escape. See, when you saved, you look at that way of escape two different ways. You get that virus, the way of escape is either he can heal me, I mean heal me, or he could take me out of here. He could let that virus kill me. Huh? Aristotle, is that a way of escape? If you saved, yes it is. Huh? What you talking about? If I die in Jesus, do you realize I'm getting out this world? Huh? Don't you realize to be absent from the body is to be present with Jesus? I can't think of a better escape. Huh? I can't think of a better escape. Huh? I ain't got to hear about no more death. No more. Huh? I can't think of a better escape. Huh? You can't talk like that if you ain't got no Jesus. Though. I was about to tell you, you got to have the Holy Ghost like you're supposed to have it. You need to know who your God is. Who is your God? He is the one that made the heaven and the earth, right? I'm not wondering. I know it. I know it. I know Jesus made the heaven and the earth. Huh? The heaven and the earth and what else? And all things. Yes. I believe that. I believe the Lord don't dwell in this building. Felder Scudder,
But this is y'all church. I don't believe the Lord don't dwell in this building. This building wasn't built to be no church. This was some other kind of building before we got here. It only became a church because we here. Y'all understand that? It didn't become a church because we put a name on the sign on the door. It didn't become a church because we put a yard sign in the yard. It became the church because the saints is here. The church is the bride of Christ. That's when it became a church. This ground became holy when we stepped on it. It stopped being an electric company. It stopped being a warehouse when the saints stepped foot on the ground. Then it became holy ground, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
That's the truth. That is the truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, a church is not because it got a steeple.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Because it got stained glass windows. That don't make it no church. That's just a building. Y'all hear me, saints? That's just a building. And the Lord said this. His people know this fact, right? What fact, Elder Scudder? Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
He ain't in it. Keep going.
Neither is worship with men's hands.
Hold up. But I see the pictures. I see the videos. Will the people be lifting up their hands? Come on, let's worship him. Come on, worship him. Man, they ain't read a book like this. They said, neither is worship with men's hands. As though he what? He don't need you. He don't need that coliseum of people filled up, shedding a whole bunch of crocodile tears. He don't need all of that. What does he need? Ask the woman at the well. Ask the woman at the well, what does he need? Scripture says that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and truth. That's what he desires. He desires you to worship him in spirit and truth. Get the Holy Ghost and live right, right? That's how you worship him, right? You worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to stop living in the lie.
Amen.
You got to stop living in the lie. When you want to worship the Lord, you got to step out the lie and start living in the truth. Don't you realize when you live in truth, you don't even got time to look at nobody else. Why? Because you're too busy looking at yourself. Why? Because you're living what? In truth. You walk by the drunk. You walk by the crackhead. You walk by them all. And you live in your truth. You live in your truth. You walk by those that dress like prostitutes, and you live in your truth. What is your truth? You can't look down on them. Why can't you look down on them? Because when I look at them, I'm looking at me. When I'm looking at them, I'm looking at me. And if it wasn't for his grace and mercy, if it wasn't for his grace and mercy, nothing but the grace and mercy of Jesus plucked me out of my sin, right? Put me on the street called straight, right? No goodness of my own. That's the truth. Neither is worship with hands, as though he needs anything. Do the God that you serve need anything? He don't need nothing. Dad, I ain't gonna pay my tithe. He don't need your tithes. He don't need nothing. I ain't seen our lights get cut off yet. Y'all realize we ain't got a shut off bill since we've been here. Do y'all understand? That means he don't need any of us. Some of us do these tithes like this. Sometimes. Look at me, Sam. When are you gonna wake up out of sleep? The Lord don't need you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Ain't gonna come no more. I'm gonna just stop coming. The Lord don't need you. You only fooling yourself. Why? Because one day the word is gonna come alive inside of you. What word are you talking about? You are going to perish. You are going to perish. And the sad thing is, you're gonna know you could have repented. you're going to know you could have repented. Meaning you could have lived differently than this, right? But you walking around thinking that you doing Jesus a favor. And you don't know the Lord don't need you. Is that? I didn't say it. It is in your own book. As though he needeth anything. What does Jesus give you? I feel sorry for people. They walk around as though their health regimen or their diet is sustaining their life because they live here and got this and got that is sustaining their life. But little do they know, Jesus is the only giver of life. And when he takes life out of you, ain't nothing you can do about it. He said, when I call you, are going to answer. When I snatch the breath out of you, you won't breathe no more, right? Say, he giveth life. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath. Keep going.
And have made of one blood.
Isn't that something? Now we live in this whole segregated society. Oh yes, it is. People look at it and say, "Well, this whole racist." But the church, the quote unquote church, has always been the most racially motivated system. Now, let's go to, how could you say such a thing? If you look at it, you got black church, you got white church. Then also Chinese church. Then you got Hispanic church. Then you got African church. Come on. And you go in there and walk in there and watch what the people do when they see you. You'll see the heads turn. They may not say it, but they shall go look it. Say, you don't belong in here. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Y'all know that's the truth. No, you know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. You know you've seen it. You see it. You're talking about your neighborhoods. At least your neighborhoods is diverse. At least you got other ethnicities living on the same block as you got. But when it's time for church, it's like the Lord, there's somebody parted the Red Sea.
Right.
It's amazing, isn't it? You find your group. You find your when y'all ride home today, just go look at these buildings. You'll see, you pay close attention to what you see. Right. You see it. You say, wow, this is amazing. Got Chinese churches. Big places. Their writing is in Chinese. So they're telling you flat-footed, they're really not welcoming you. Because they know you can't speak Chinese. But the sign, African, same. Hispanic, the same. Now, if you don't speak Spanish, you don't know what that sign says. Because they're trying to tell you this is our little secret space. And if you don't speak our language, you're not welcome. That's something to think about, isn't it? Oh, but we serve in the same God. No, you're lying. Because the scripture specifically says in verse number 26.
And they all made of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of
Earth. Isn't that something? We turned ourselves into these little groups. Oh, no. Blacks, y'all stay with the blacks. Whites, y'all stay with the whites. Asians, y'all stay with this. They stay in your little community. Before you know it, you got all these little pockets all around the city. I never have been one to say Chinatown. You don't even think about the logic. What they trying to tell you? You really are not welcome. This is their space. See, going around in Hispanic spots, all the stores. And they're really trying to tell you. Now, you may go in there, but they're trying to tell you they really don't want you there. Because this is their space. So, I don't think sometimes, Same, no different than the international. Where the Africans at?
Right. Yeah.
I can go down to Elmwood Avenue or Elwood, whatever that street is. And when they got their little stores, they really don't want you in there. They know you don't belong. You say, well, my skin is just as black as theirs. But you're not them.
Right.
You don't belong there. We just go around, and we think that this is the norm, but that's not the norm. Sin has caused all of these divisions. But saints, we realize again, we keep this right before ourselves. Verse number 26. He has made of one. That's right. That's right. That's right. Keep going. So who decided how long you're going to be here? Something to think about, isn't it? I don't want y'all to think, say this vaccine is going to keep you living longer. No, it's not.
Right.
This vaccine is not going to keep you living longer. Because they've already shown, just because you got the vaccine, don't stop you from getting the virus. No. You go, people be walking around like they Superman because they got the vaccine. Well, go right on, Superman. You can get the virus anyway. Even though you had the vaccine, you can still get the virus. Huh? Isn't that something? Well, Scott, what in the world am I taking the virus for? Well, science says, that's all I can go by. Science says if you get it, your symptoms won't be as bad. But I'm trying to tell you really what you need is the blood of Jesus. Because that's the only thing that's going to keep you protected. Huh? Even if you get sick, the blood is a cure. The blood of Jesus is a cure. Well, say, Elder Scott, I'm going to get the virus. I don't know if you're going to get it. And I don't know if you, once you get it, if you're going to survive it. But what I do know is you better make sure your soul is right. If your soul is right, I don't care how you die. Whether you die through the virus, a car accident, or a bullet, it doesn't even matter. Because once you leave this earth, you're going back with Jesus. That's all I'm worried about. Told you all on last week, we paid so much attention to the after the person dies, we just start spending lots and lots of money. And we don't think about the reality of life. That person is doing nothing but going back to the earth. And it's sad, because it really in reality, we really should just take the body and put it back into the dirt. They used to just bury people in dirt. They didn't used to put people in these beds. They used to just throw you right back into the earth. You came from the earth, so the concept was to put you right back into the earth. But nah, somebody had a business plan. So, oh, we can make some money off of this. Huh? And not even just a box to put you in. These elaborate. Man, people staying in boxes more expensive than beds that they lived in. You spend $7,000-$8,000 for a box to be buried. You ain't even spend that much on your bed. On the mattress that you sleep on every day. The sofa that you sit on. Somebody say, well, let's go buy a $7,000 sofa. You must be crazy. Where you going? I'm going to buy a discount. Get that thing for $500. Go get a mattress. How much you spend for that mattress? $1,000 for a mattress? Man, you could have got that mattress for $200. $200 for where? Mattress discount. But when you go get a casket, where you going? Give me a gold casket. Gold plated. See-through. I want a plexiglass casket. Well, it's going to cost $10,000. The money is no object. $10,000, the money is no object. You're just a fool. Ah, foolish. I tell you all, I'll tell you. Really, what you don't even know, sad thing is, people leave those bodies and they go, people take those caskets and recycle them. Take you out of that most expensive things, and then they move you into a cheaper one. And then that most expensive one that you get be at somebody else's funeral. How can you tell that they did?
Once they put that stone lid over top of it, you ain't going back in there. Isn't that something? Y'all buried some loved one. You don't know what they're buried in. You really don't. You say, well, I saw them put the... No, that's what they showed you. After you drove on down the street, you don't know what happened. You really don't. I think a lot of folk would be a whole lot depressed. They go dig up their loved ones and they don't see the casket that they put them in. Hey, well, hold up. What happened to our casket? Well, the contract didn't say that we had to keep them in it. We said we buried them in it. Y'all put them up. We did. We buried them. We put them down in the ground in it. You saw them down, go down. But the contract didn't say they had to stay in there. Oh, that ain't no good. Well, it's right there in black and white. Isn't that something? Something about it, isn't it? Come on, finish me up. Y'all know I get sidetracked sometimes.
That they should seek the Lord.
Yes.
That happy they might feel.
Yes.
Yes. Though he be not far from everything.
Jump on over to, you can read a little bit more. Go ahead.
For not
go ahead.
We live, move, and have our being.
That's our famous. That's our famous one, yes.
For ye are also his offspring.
Yes.
For as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to
think
that the Godhead is like unto gold and silver.
Yes, yes.
Graven by art.
Yep.
And man's
device. Yep.
And that in the times of this ignorance.
See, what did the Lord label this time as? Amen. A time of what? Ignorance. So everything that you've heard me describe, Jesus looked at this as a time of what? Ignorance. And what did he do about this time of ignorance? Scripture say he winked at it, right? But what has he commanded? Huh? He commanded all men everywhere to repent. Stop the wrong. Turn from the wrong and start doing what is right. I cannot say that enough. Turn from the wrong and start doing what is right. If you know it's not pleasing to Jesus, don't do it. It's not worth your soul. It's not worth your soul. Sell the scudder, but everybody else is doing it. You don't want to go where everybody else is going. The scripture done told you the broad way leads to what? Destruction. And many are going down that path. Well, I seem like I'm the only one. Well, that's what a few looks like. A few looks like sometimes you're the what? The only one. But that's why the Lord tells you not to neglect assembling yourselves together. Because when you come around the saints, you realize you're not the only one. Right? Isn't that the truth? In your neighborhood, you may feel like you're the what? But then when you come to church, what are you reminded? I'm not the only one because I have other saints that are living in the same city that I'm living in, that are going through the what? The same things that I'm going through. Yet they have not abandoned their faith. And if they didn't give up, I can't give up. Right? If they live in a certain kind of way, I got to live a certain kind of way. Right? That's something to think about, saints. All right. Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin.